here this afternoon to acknowledge and to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're gathered together as God's people to sing his praises and worship him. And indeed, as we consider the story of the birth of Christ, we realize that the baby that was born in Bethlehem and placed in a manger, although he was he came into the world in a very humble way. He is, as Ray reminded us, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He has reigned, is reigning, and will always reign. And that's something that we all always need to keep in mind, even during this time, and perhaps especially during this time. And so this, on this special occasion, as we're preparing for tomorrow, we acknowledge the day as the birth of Christ. We ought to prepare our hearts for that very, for the very day, a celebration. As we were going over on Sunday, it should be a festive, a jovial, a joyous, a happy time. Time when we acknowledge him in his salvation, his grace, and his love for us. So we're going to begin this afternoon by simply reading in Luke chapter 2. So please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we're looking at verse 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. "And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for sending your son. Lord, it could have been done another way, perhaps. And yet, Lord, your plan of salvation, your plan of redemption, was that you would send your son to be born of a virgin, be laid in a wooden trough, that he may go to a wooden cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Oh Lord, what indescribable love that is. Extravagant love. We thank you, Lord, for this very day that we celebrate as one, the day in which our Lord, our Savior, came and dwelt among us. And so, Father, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand this joyous occasion when salvation came. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. You know, Charles Spurgeon said this, quote, "Jesus left all the royalties of heaven to be born in a stable and laid in a manger." The fullness of time had come, and God summoned the angel Gabriel, telling him to go to Zechariah the priest to tell him that his wife Elizabeth, who was known as being barren, advanced in years, had not been with child, of course, would be with child. And it was while he was serving as priest before God, having entered into the temple to burn incense, having multitudes of people outside waiting for him, that it was in that place that the angel of God appeared to him standing next to the altar of incense. And Zechariah, when this happened, was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. It was at this point that Zechariah was told by the angel Gabriel that his wife Elizabeth would be with child, that he will have a son, and he is to call his name John. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 8. Now, while he was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And so we have this word having been brought to Zechariah in that very moment. You know, if we fast forward 6 months later, we know that Gabriel was also sent by the Lord to Mary to tell her that she would conceive and bear a son, and she is to call his name Jesus, Yeshua, salvation. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." We know that I think about the angel Gabriel. Gabriel, during this time, was a very busy angel. Being sent to Zechariah, being sent to Mary. But you know, after he was sent to Mary, he was then sent, after Mary had conceived, was sent to Joseph, that is Mary's husband, to whom she was betrothed, to tell him that she conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and told him who it was that she was carrying in the womb. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But as he considered these things, what he was considering was the fact that she was with child and he had not been with her intimately. These are the things that he was considering. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus, Yeshua. Salvation has come. Good news of great joy. Jesus, the one who will save his people from their sins. God. God took the form of a man, humbled himself, took on flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Absolutely beyond what we could grasp with our minds. Zechariah had prophesied as he was filled with the Holy Spirit. This was on the day that John, his son, was born. Prophesied as he was filled with the Holy Spirit, saying that God had raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Luke chapter 1, verse 69. We also need to understand that it wasn't just Zechariah and Mary and Joseph, but there were other people who were around them at that time. Zechariah was in the temple, but there were people praying outside, multitudes of people, many people outside praying, waiting for him to come out, and he was delayed. And yet when he came out, he was mute. He could not speak. And it was at John's birth that there were people around. When John was named by his father Zechariah. And at the moment that he, as he wrote on a tablet, his name shall be John, he was unmuted by the Lord. His tongue was loosed and he was able to speak. And at that time, he was filled with the Spirit and prophesied in the Spirit of Jesus. There were witnesses. There were those who could testify of what had taken place. Remember how Elizabeth knew who was in Mary's womb. And so did John. Imagine this. Mary came to visit Elizabeth. And the moment Mary came into the presence of Elizabeth, John, in the womb, leapt with joy. It was by the words of Elizabeth that she confirmed this very thing. From the time he was in his mother's womb, he was filled with the Spirit. Back in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, it says, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Mary, Elizabeth, Zechariah, Joseph, and the multitudes of people that were around them during those times. Remember Joseph and what he was told by the angel Gabriel. Again, many people were around Zechariah, Elizabeth, Joseph, Mary. Many people had already heard the good news of great joy even before Jesus was born. They may not have fully understood, but they knew, in part. It was nonetheless good news. And now it was almost time for Mary to give birth. But the prophet Micah had foretold that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. There's a problem because they were in Nazareth. In Micah 5:2, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." But of course, no one can thwart God's plans. God worked it out. In those days, Israel was ruled by Rome. And Caesar Augustus commanded that a census be taken for taxes. And because such a decree could not be ignored, Joseph and Mary packed up and made their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Because Joseph, was of the house and lineage of David to be registered, and he took Mary with him, his betrothed, who was with child. The world of Caesar Augustus, the sole ruler of the Roman Empire, the one who had defeated Queen Cleopatra of Egypt and Antony, it's into this world that Jesus was born. A world of war, of brutality, of destruction, and immorality. But it was also true that it was a time when the spread of ideas, philosophies, and religions would flourish because of the Pax Romana and the fact that they built roads everywhere. And so this was all a time when word could go out more easily than it had previously. Caesar Augustus was a powerful man, the nephew of Julius Caesar, who had defeated his enemies, and peace was known throughout the Roman Empire during this time. You see, even Caesar Augustus was used by God to bring Mary to Bethlehem, that Jesus might be born in the place where Micah prophesied that in that very place he would be born. You see, one thing we need to understand is that God is sovereign and no one is able to thwart his plans. Even though the days may seem dark and things are bleak, you can rest assured that God is sovereign. He's still on the throne now, and his plans will not be thwarted. Luke chapter 2, verse 5. Verse 4, let's go to that. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Verse 5. "To be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." Something that you might find interesting is that according to Roman law, Joseph did not have to take Mary with him. Joseph could have gone to Bethlehem by himself, and yet he packed up and took his wife to Bethlehem. But remember that her conception was miraculous. Remember what Joseph was contemplating. He was thinking about these things. How was it that this was so? And of course, we know that the angel came to Joseph and told him exactly who it was that was in his wife's womb. Joseph had not known her intimately. And no doubt the people in Nazareth, I have no doubt whatsoever that they were talking In fact, it was in John chapter 8, verse 41, that the Pharisees implied that they saw Jesus as having been born of sexual immorality. John 8, 41. So think about that. For them, it was the talk of the town. In other words, what the Pharisees were saying was that he had been conceived out of wedlock. Taking this into consideration, perhaps thinking about this in Nazareth, perhaps there were people who were of the same mind and saw Mary the same way as these Pharisees had. Either way, we know that Joseph made the 80-mile journey with his wife, perhaps having this in mind to take her out of that environment. But then again, when all is said and done, it doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what was going on. God used all of that to bring about his plan and to fulfill his prophetic word. Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us in very plain and in a very clear manner that Mary gave birth to Jesus and she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a humble manger. God was wrapped in the skin of humanity. Born a baby, wrapped in strips of cloth, laid in a trough used to feed animals. The kingdom of God had come. The Son of God came to dwell among us that we may behold him, that we may look to him as Savior. God's grace poured out upon us. That is who we're celebrating. Charles Spurgeon said this, quote, "We might tremble to approach a throne, but we cannot fear to approach a manger." Right? It's not threatening. Think about this. He came humbly for you. He was born to die on the cross, but he came for you. Philippians 2:7 says that he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Now, eventually, Jesus would go from being placed in a feeding trough made of wood to being nailed to a cross made of wood. The world would make no room for Jesus but on a cross. But then again, that is the very reason the Father sent the Son. Remember that the greatest gift is not what is found under the tree, but rather he who was nailed on the tree. The great news of Jesus' birth was brought to some of the shepherds who were out in a field. Humble beginnings. This, to us, should give us a picture of who it is that God comes to. A broken and contrite heart, oh God, these you will not despise. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Great news of great joy. What wonder. If you could just imagine for a moment as I read these verses, what happened in that field outside of Bethlehem on that very night with these shepherds. Verse 8 of chapter 2 says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" What an absolutely amazing encounter. God sent his angel to announce the arrival of the Savior, God's anointed, the Messiah, to humble shepherds who were in a field outside of Bethlehem. Now, we need to understand who it is that God sent this angel to proclaim the birth of the Savior. These humble shepherds were actually deemed outcasts of society, despised by society. They were not allowed to give testimony in a court of law because they were deemed not being trustworthy. Imagine that. And this is who God sent his angel to proclaim the good news of great joy. To add to the awesomeness of this proclamation, this very moment, it was at night. This is the glory of the Lord shone around them, as if just the appearance of the angel wasn't enough. The proclamation by the angel. But then the glory of the Lord shone around them. And then once the angel had announced the birth of Christ and how and where they were to find him, there appeared with the angel. So God opened up their eyes to see beyond the glory of the Lord that shone around them. Open their eyes to see a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." It's as if we were here praising God. God turned everything off and opened up the heavens. Of course, they were filled with fear. Of course, they were trembling. It's an absolutely remarkable moment. We see their response to this in verse 15. It says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." A.W. Tozer, concerning the revealing of Christ, the advent of Christ, in his writing said, "The advent of Christ clearly established this: first, that God is real. The heavens were opened and another world than this came into view. Second, that human life is essentially spiritual, with the emergence into human flesh of the eternal Word of the Father. The fact of man's divine origin is confirmed. Third, that God indeed had spoken by the prophets, the coming of the Messiah, Savior, into the world confirmed the veracity of the Old Testament scripture. Fourth, that man is lost but not abandoned. Had men not been lost, no Savior would have been required. Had they been abandoned, no Savior would have come. And finally, that this world is not the end. We are made for two worlds, and as surely as we now inhabit the one, we shall also inhabit the other." And so we look forward to the other. But it would not be possible, it would not be known unless we place our trust in Jesus Christ. You see, the greatest gift is not what is found again under the tree, but rather he who was born in a manger in Bethlehem, nailed to a tree in Jerusalem, and was raised from the tomb after 3 days. It is he who is the greatest gift, in whom, when we place our trust, know salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, and have the hope of heaven. we do not celebrate a baby in a manger, but rather the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the one who was victorious over our sins on the cross and was justified by being raised from the grave 3 days later, and who will come again. May you celebrate Jesus as your Savior this Christmas. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, call out to him. Acknowledge your sin. Your sin has separated you from him. Acknowledge him. Ask him for forgiveness. Genuinely ask him to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Do you know salvation? I pray that you do. Because that is why we celebrate Christmas, our Savior's birth, who came in the form of a man and died on the cross for our sins. And I pray that you would celebrate Christmas and the victory that Jesus had for you and your sins, that you may have the hope of heaven and look forward to inhabiting the next world. The Apostle Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. Of course, he was talking about two worlds, right? And so for those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ, who cried to him, calling upon him as Lord and Savior, to him, by their faith, have come to know the forgiveness of their sins by God's grace. I pray that you would celebrate that, and Christmas would have a meaning that you have never known before. May you celebrate Jesus as your Savior this Christmas, knowing that his birth is indeed good news of great joy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, was proclaimed to everyone. For you desire that none perish, but that all reach repentance. And so, Father, I pray that forgiveness of sins is known by all here. There would be no one here that does not know your grace being poured out in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, Lord, we confess that. And that indeed is true. And Lord, the one who was born in Bethlehem was born to die on the cross for us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you. We love you. And we pray this